and grab out your Bibles as something to take some notes with as we study God's Word. If you like to take notes, take them in a notebook or on a piece of paper. If you want to fill in the blank version of the notes, I've forgotten to tell you that for a couple of weeks. We have the Victory Church app you can download with a fill in the blank version. So if you're like me and you like just like one or two words at a time, you want to write down what I want you to write down, download the app. You can have the fill in the blank version. But I was thinking, we're here at the end of the year. So this is the last Sunday of the year. You can't make them all if you don't make the last one. Come on, somebody. So that's just at the end. A pastor said that to me one time and it threw me off. And so now I say it. I don't know. That's just my thing I like to do. But here at the end of 2024, this is the last Sunday. Some of you are like, I wish this year would never end. You had an amazing year. You knocked out all your goals. You were like an achiever. It was amazing. Some of you maybe, but most of you, most of us, I would say, you're probably ready to like put the ending on the year. You're like, hey, I had some things in January of 2024, if you can look back that far. I had some things on the list that I wanted to get accomplished. And maybe if you kept that list past like February, if you kept it past March, you were like, okay, I'm doing well. But most of you probably, there's a chance most of us gave up sometime between March and the end of the summer. And you're like, okay, that was great. I'm glad I had it on the list. I was going to get healthier. I was going to do this. I was going to do that. I was going to, all of these things. And you kind of gave up on them. And now we're at the end of the year. And it's time to take stock. It's time to look back and say, okay, did I accomplish whatever it is? And there are some things I think that are frivolous. We're like, we just keep them on the list every year. But we know we're never going to do them. Come on, somebody. But then maybe there were some things that you were serious about. Maybe some faith-filled things, maybe some spiritual pursuits, some things you were going to put into place. And so they went on the list in January, and suddenly you're gearing up for 2025, and they're back on the list. And you're like, yeah, I missed that one. And so I think for some of us, we kind of get a little bit out of, I wouldn't say out of sorts, we get a little bit discouraged when we see the same thing pop up again and again. And we're like making the to-do list or we're making the New Year's resolutions and it just seems to be the first five or just the exact same thing. And we get a little bit discouraged, especially when those things are serious or spiritual things. And so I thought we would end 2024. I thought we'd end talking about those faith goals or those things that maybe we weren't able to accomplish. And then I thought we'd start 2025 talking about focus. So we end the year talking about faith, start the year talking about focus. Because I think as we look at faith and the calling of God, maybe we see some ways this year we didn't quite live up to it. And so we start to get maybe a little bit nervous about our role in all of this. So if God is counting on us to do our part, and if our church and the people around us are counting on us to do our part, and we just can't seem to do our part. And so I want to talk a little bit about that here and maybe bring a little bit of clarity to kind of get us in the right mindset. Like what if 2025 ends and we still didn't do it? Or what if we end with anxiety or fear of missing out, or we just can't seem to check the box? What does that mean for us? And so maybe I can bring a little bit of clarity. Maybe even above that, I can bring a little bit of peace to our minds as we end out the year. All right. Today for the framework, though, we're going to be using a story about my good buddy Moses. And so if you want to, you can go ahead and turn in Exodus. I love the Old Testament. I am fascinated with the story of the Israelites in going from like Abraham to captivity in Egypt to deliverance to wandering the desert to being set free in the promised land. To the kings and the judges. It fascinates me. And one of my favorite parts of this story is almost that it's an echo of the journey that we take as New Testament Christians. And so God's chosen people in the Old Testament, God is walking them through these different captivities, deliverances, being set free from different things. God is walking them through. It's a beautiful echo, a picture of what he does in our lives as New Testament Christians, the journey we're called to take to become all that God has called us to be. And so today I want to go back to the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at, like I said, my friend Moses in a moment that all of us are pretty familiar with. So Exodus 3, God is commissioning him to go. And so God has called Moses and he's like, hey, come and see this burning bush. And so Moses, like everybody, gets really like fixated on this thing that's burning but not burning because we all love fire. Come on, somebody. And so he says, now go. God has got his attention and he calls him in this moment. He says, go. Because I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. I love how God has a moment for all of us. I believe with all my heart, God has a calling on every believer's life. God has a purpose for your life. And maybe you can point to a specific moment that God called you. Maybe you can. Some people can. Maybe it was a moment in worship or at a youth camp, or maybe you were alone praying at your house, or maybe you were driving in your car. Whatever it is, you can point to a moment where God says to you, like he says to Moses, I have a purpose for you. I have a plan. This is what I want you to do. He puts a dream in your heart. And maybe you can point to a moment. Maybe it's just the way God has orchestrated your steps to lead you to something. But for every believer, God has a calling for your life. God has a purpose for you to accomplish. You got a picture of what the dream could look like. And I think how for Moses, this is fascinating. Moses is called in this moment, yes. But watch this. Moses is called to go back. Like, God doesn't pull any punches. Right from the get-go, he's like, I'm calling. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Remember the last interaction Moses had is running for his life because Pharaoh's going to kill him. Like running for his life because he's been rejected. Running from his life because the dream didn't work out how he thought. And now in this moment, God is calling him, yes, but he's calling him to go back. To go back to a place of failure. Go back to a place of rejection. Go back to a place where he didn't live up to his dream. And some of you have places like that. Maybe just even in this last year. Places of failure or rejection. And I pray it encourages you as we study, we kind of walk through Moses' story. I hope it encourages you through the actions of faith, some things about faith that you actually need to know. As God calls Moses, as God begins to call him back to this place, some things we need to know. The first one, jot it down if you're taking notes. The first one, if you're taking notes, what God always asks us to do, it's always possible. I think this gets lost in the shuffle all the time. People talk in like spiritualese language and all the different things we think about and all the things we think about the end before we even start. We all these things we try to throw into the mix. We lose sight of the fact anything God ever calls you to is possible. It's always possible. Sometimes as believers, especially believers who believe in signs and wonders and miracles. Now, if you're new to Victory and you're kind of wondering where we fall on all that, our theology, let me just wait. We believe in the God of the Bible. We believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That if he did it then, he can do it now. And so we believe in a God who does miracles. We believe in a God. But sometimes I think, especially with that kind of belief, we mix up our part and God's part. We start to kind of get this jumbled together. Many times we put so much pressure on ourselves and we confuse our part with God's part. Moses is standing before the burning bush and God's like, I'm going to give you three different miracles to even let people know that you're called by me, that I have sent you, to let them know you're a good leader. I'm going to give you these miracles and you're going to bring freedom to you and they should follow you. But I think sometimes when God puts a calling on our life, we start listening to that and we hear about all the great things that God can do and we start confusing our part with his. And so even for Moses, God's like, I'm going to do some miracles here. We're going to show them that I have sent you. I'm going to do the miracles. And so the first one was the staff. Where's my staff? There we go. Where's my staff? So the first one, he calls Moses. And I always pick the wrong one. He calls Moses. And he says, Moses, I'm going to do these miracles in front of you first. So then you can demonstrate them. The first one, though, is Moses' staff. Now, it will interest you to know that this is a historically accurate Moses' staff. That's what this is. All right, everybody? This is from then. Because in the Hebrew, this is known as a quick connect. It can be like a mop or a spear or whatever. It's just, no, I'm just being stupid. I always seem to grab the blue or the green one back there when I need a prop. But this one, let's just pretend this morning this is a historically accurate staff. And so he looks at Moses. He's like, take the staff in your hand. And I'm going to do a miracle. And so Moses is probably all excited. Moses is like, okay, this is the staff. And God's like, okay, I want you to throw it down. I want you to drop it. And so Moses has to drop this staff. Real difficult to do, right? This is incredibly hard for Moses to have. Moses drops the staff. And I love the verse about this in the Bible. Watch what it says when he does this. Moses throws it on the ground and something spiritual, nothing spiritual happens next. It says, it became a snake and he ran from it. I like that part. Come on, somebody. Like you think in Moses' mind, God has appeared, God has spoken, like Moses, like God has given him this moment and the bush is burning and it's spiritual, it's holy ground. He took off his shoes. He drops the staff. Moses is like in spiritual mode. It turns into a snake and Moses snaps out of spiritual mode really quickly. Come on, somebody. And Moses runs from it. And God's like, no, 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 come back. I've got something to show you. But listen, all God asked Moses to do in that moment, God is like, I need you to drop the staff. Check this out. This motion is easy for all of us to do. Nothing difficult in this passage. It's not like he asked Moses, now I need you to like build a Taj Mahal out of toothpicks or something. He's like, Moses, I need you to drop the staff. And Moses does it. This is easy for all of us to do. I don't know if you're klutzy. Like, I drop things all the time. Like, I don't know how you are. Like, it's easy to drop things. It's easy to drop. But when he dropped it, it becomes a snake. But see, the pressure we feel too often is we get in these moments and God asks us to do something, and we feel like the pressure is on us to turn the rod into a snake. Listen to me, everybody. If you don't hear anything else today, God hasn't called you to turn rods into snakes. God's just called you to drop what's in your hand. The supernatural, the miracle part of this is left to God. God knows what he's doing. God has a plan. All he asked for Moses to do is drop the rod. All he asked for Moses to do, what God asks us to do usually is fairly simple. Usually, all of us can witness to somebody. It's God who brings conviction and salvation. All of us can reach out and love someone. All of us can be a friend in need. All of us can do those things. It's God who brings healing. It's God who does the miraculous. But too often we confuse our part with God's part. See, the Bible says in Luke, watch this. I'm going to drop this one more time. Here we go. The Bible says in Luke, watch, for nothing will be impossible. Watch this word, with God. For nothing will be impossible with God. Here's the big part of the Christian life that we mess up. We want to live the Christian life for God. We want to say, I want to be such a great. We come to church and we're like, God, okay, fix me. God, improve me. Okay, God, do all these things in my life. Remove that person, remove that temptation, remove this circumstance, remove all these things so I can be the best Christian I can be, so I can go do this thing by myself. All of us pray that. What we're subconsciously praying is, God, improve me so much that I no longer need you. See, the way we try to orchestrate our life is we try to say, okay, God, bring me to the place where I no longer need. See, too often we don't want to need God, we want to be God. Too often in our life, we no longer want to need him, we just want to be him. And we pray prayers subconsciously leading us to that goal. And Paul prayed that prayer. Paul prayed in his life. He doesn't tell us what it was for. He just says, 3 times I begged God to take it away. Whatever it was that was holding him back, whatever the thorn in the flesh, 3 times I pleaded, and God's like, no, it doesn't work like that, buddy. That's not the way it works. No, the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not taking that thing away. For my power, the reason I'm not taking, my grace is sufficient. So you don't even need it taken away. You can survive this thing. But my power is made perfect in weakness. And that's a difficult concept to accept. That his power would be made perfect in our weakness. So God said, I'm not taking away that struggle or that circumstance. I'm not taking that person out of your life. I'm not taking those things. Because those are the very things that are shaping holiness inside of you. And that is a difficult place to come to as a Christian. But it's where God has called us. Where God is saying, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Those things drive you to depend on me. And I can be for you what you cannot be for yourself. And then watch this in Zechariah chapter 4. The Bible says, we know this, but we don't believe it. We know it in our hearts, but we don't believe it with our actions. It says, not by might, not by force, not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Many of us have learned this in the journey of faith, that you can't force it. Yeah, there's a hard work element to Christianity, but we can't like force spiritual momentum. The miraculous is not on us. We can't, not by might. I don't care how powerful, I don't care how wise, I don't care how whatever it is you think you are. We can't force the miraculous on our own. No, there's our part, and we can't confuse that with God's part. And I don't know if that discourages you. That takes such a load off of my life. The fact that I can live my life just obeying the simple things God has asked me to do, and it's on God to bring the miraculous. He has a plan. He has a power above my own. His thoughts exceed my own. My part in this is usually fairly simple. But we complicate it, and that's what gets us so anxious at the end of the year. We didn't do this. No, no, we were called to obey. We were called just to drop the stick. And it's God who brings the miraculous. And then in verse 10, watch this. This maybe discourages us or keeps us from doing even the simple. He tells Zechariah, he says, don't despise these small beginnings. Some of you are like, drop the stick. I don't want to just drop the stick. I want to like set the forest on fire. I want to do these. I want to do it. Moses had a lot of stuff about to happen in his life. A lot of amazing things God's about to do through him. But it starts with something incredibly simple. All God asks him, drop the stick. All this stuff is coming afterwards. We know it because we flip ahead, right? We understand where the story's going. For Moses in this moment, all he's been asked to do is to drop the rod. And God is looking at us and he's saying, don't despise small beginnings. You know this part? This is when they start to lay the foundation. And the Bible says they saw, some of them had been there when the foundation of the old temple had been laid. They had seen the entire breadth and width of the old temple. And some of them, the older men, had seen that, the entire excellence and grandeur of the temple. And now they saw this new foundation, how small it was compared to that. And they began to weep. And it says that they're weeping. You couldn't tell if people were cheering or weeping at the same time because they were looking at this. And God said, don't despise the small beginning. I know you've seen other things, but I can do miracles. See, the power wasn't in the temple. The power wasn't in the rocks. The power wasn't in that foundation. The power was in God all along. And God says, I haven't changed. And so when he looks at us and he says, hey, I want you to do this. And we say, well, Lord, it's not as big as somebody else's thing. God, it's not as important as what you call it. It's not as great as all those other things. God's not asking you to do the miraculous. He's saying, I'm asking you to be obedient, not to despise the small things. Don't despise what God has put in your life. God is the same. The God you serve is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise that small ministry God has called you to, or that small business or job God has called you to create, or that relationship that's just kind of getting off the ground that God is in the midst of. Don't despise those things because in your eyes they look small. No, God has called us to be obedient in the moment that he's called us to, and our God is still the same God. He has a plan. He sits on his throne. He says, Zechariah, don't despise the small beginnings. Don't think it's not having a big enough impact. It's not doing. No. Our God has a plan. Things he's called us to are always possible. Second thing I want you to know, jot it down if you're taking notes. The actions of faith are so often painful. This is why nobody wants to step out, because yes, it's possible, but too often it's painful for us. This is why not everybody enjoys the actions of faith. You see, if you go back to the staff, for us, this is just a stick. But for Moses, this means a lot of different things. This whole moment, this interaction, and God will tailor these things to the people that he's calling. But this moment for Moses means a lot. For us, it's a stick, but Moses is called to throw it down. And yes, this is like his protection and his identity as a shepherd, right? He's out there, he's tending the sheep, all of this. But more than any of that, if you remember, Moses left a place where he was a failure. Moses had a dream in Egypt. You watch his life, the way it's orchestrated, the way he finds out about the bondage of his people, the way that he reacts to that, the things that he does. Moses clearly sees himself as the deliverer of his people. He's going to be a leader. He's going to be a world changer. He's going to do these things. And it all ends in failure with him running as a murderer into the wilderness. So that dream is long gone. Like, flush that thing down the toilet. He is now a shepherd out in the wilderness. He's out in the desert, like, it's not happening. And so God comes to him, and God's like, hey, can you throw your staff down? Can you throw down this identity? Can you throw down this protection? Can you throw all of those things? Now, in Moses' mind, like, he doesn't even know if he's going to get this thing back. The bush is burning. Maybe the staff will be burning. And then once it turns to a snake, he's probably thinking, like, I have messed up. I don't know who I'm talking to anymore. This thing is over. But in this moment, God has called him. And so to Moses, I failed, I screwed it up, it didn't go the way I thought it could, I tried to force something that wasn't in its time, now I'm in the desert for decades, that dream is dead, this is who I am, I'm a shepherd. I'm not a leader, I'm not a great king, I'm not this deliverer, I lead the sheep around. And God calls him, and God looks at that one thing that shows he's a shepherd, he says, will you throw that down? And so Moses, in this moment, he's got to make a decision. It's a big sacrifice. But see, I've learned in my life, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Our sacrifice comes at the beginning, that God has called us to submit. And at some point in this Christian journey, he's going to ask you to lay down some things that mean a whole lot to you, that maybe in your mind define who you are. He's going to ask you to lay down things that maybe up until that point you've decided, this is who I am. This is my peace. This is where I find myself at peace. This is where I find myself set in what I think my life should be. This is my safety and my security. And many of you may feel that way, because chances are it's going to be painful to lay those down. And maybe there's something even in this last year, a place of rejection or a place of pain, or something you thought should have defined you, or something you thought should have been your ministry or should have been your chance at making a difference or an impact, and it ended in flames. It ended in disaster. And you're like, okay, that's not me anymore. Now I'm just whatever I can find, whatever I can do, wherever I can run, that's who I am. And God is looking at you and asking you to lay down maybe your identity. And maybe you're in a place of rejection or abandonment. Watch what Jeremiah says. It's a low point in his life. In Lamentations, Jeremiah, prophet, Jeremiah, who's proclaimed the word of the Lord, Jeremiah, who's like the mouthpiece of God, finds himself in this low place. And he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering and the bitterness and the gall. I remember the depression. I remember the anxiety. And he says, I remember them and my soul is downcast within me. And sometimes we get to this place like Jeremiah, but then he says, yet I call this to mind and therefore I have hope. Not that he didn't think those things, not that he didn't remember those things, but he says, what I choose to focus on, what I call to mind, this is what brings me hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Jeremiah calls this thing. Jeremiah looks at his life. And he says, I remember the affliction. I remember those seasons. But listen to me, it's in those seasons that we learn the faithfulness of God. It's in those seasons that we learn that sometimes God will take us through those seasons to nudge us, to move us, to direct us in the path that he has for us to go. That God is using and orchestrating every moment of our life to put us on the path he has for us. See, the road to your calling is paved with sacrifice. You want to get to your destiny. You say, yeah, I want all that God has for me. Yeah, I want the calling, the purpose on my life. It's paved with sacrifice. It's paved with submission. Sometimes you have to be willing to lay down something that's painful. You got to walk away from things that you thought defined you. Away from things that you thought was like the cornerstone. Away from things that you had built up so much depending on. You need to be able to walk away from those things because I promise you God has something better. That God has a calling for your life, but the destiny, the calling, the road to that, it's paved with sacrifice and submission. And I promise you, I've said this twice now in the last month, just in different things that I've had to walk through with people, different things, but I promise you that you get to the place where God is all you have. I promise you, you will find that God is all you need. That you get to that place in your life where you've given up what you thought defined you. You gave up what you thought was supporting and holding you up. And you get to a place where God is all that you have left. I promise you, you will find what so many millions and millions of people have found, that God is all you need. That if he's calling you, if he's directing your steps, I promise that's all you need to reach the destiny you have in him. And then we learn this last principle about faith, and that is that it's progressive. Jot it down if you're taking notes. It's progressive. The promise God places in your heart doesn't happen overnight. God didn't like call Moses and say, hey, throw down the staff and then it's going to become a snake and then you're going to pick it up. It's going to be awesome. And then you're going to go and show Pharaoh and show the people and they'll follow you. And then it'll all happen just the way like it's. God never does that. God just says, are you willing to drop what you have in your hand? And Moses didn't like drop the staff and then miraculously like he appears outside the promised land about to step in. Like that's not what happens in his life. No, God is like, hey, are you willing to obey me in this moment? Are you willing to obey? Because it didn't just happen overnight for Moses. Like, it wasn't like, no, God looked at him and was like, okay, it's going to take three miracles just to make the people believe I sent you. You know how difficult this became for Moses? The murder on the run, to go back to these people who rejected him, to go back to this land that wants to kill him, to go back to this place that he's been gone for 40 years. You know how hard that was for Moses? Because I was like, yeah, it's going to take three miracles just to convince them that I sent you. Going to take 10 plagues just to like deliver them from Egypt, just to get them out. It takes 40 years out in the desert just to get all the negative people out of the church. Come on, somebody. Some of you get that later. That's funny to me that it is. But we find them. Here we find them. Exodus chapter 23. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. All those things did happen. All those things happened in Moses' life. Everything he dreamed of. He's outside the promised land. And God looks at him. He says, look, even now it's not going to happen. Even now it's not going to happen overnight. Because watch what he does for them. This is the blessing of God that we so often take as a punishment. He says, but I will not drive them out, talking about the animals and the inhabitants of the land, in a single year. Because then the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. So little by little, I'll drive them out until you've increased enough to take possession of the land. See, God's promise, even after they got to the promised land, had to come progressively. Step by step. Listen to me. If God gave you the end of your destiny right now, before you're ready, before you've grown, before the circumstances and seasons of life have had a chance to grow and to create holiness, if God gave it to you right now, it wouldn't like propel you. It would crush you. If it all happened right now, it would crush you. So you have to learn faithfulness as you start. That in the process, God is delivering this progressively. Now, I want to tell you today, Galatians chapter 6, if you are in that place, you're like, okay, I haven't reached the end of this. I'm in the midst of it and I'm getting discouraged. Galatians chapter 6, watch, he says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. For at just the right time, I love that phrase, that God knows. You say, well, the harvest isn't coming and I'm trying and I'm working. And it's not happening how I thought it would. At just the right time, at just the right moment, God knows that God has orchestrated this thing. There's another verse in the New Testament. It says, at the right time, God sent his son into the world. You know, God had a purpose, a plan. He knew when Jesus should come. He knew when change should happen. He knew when this revival should happen. So he says, let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Listen to me, everybody. I'm begging you. If you're in the midst of the process, and maybe you obeyed, you dropped the stick, but it's not looking like it's going to happen. You're like miracle 2 out of 3 to even convince people God sent you. You're like in the middle of these things. It doesn't look like it's about to happen. I'm begging you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit on your kids. Don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit on the calling or the ministry God has called you to build. Don't quit on that business God has put inside of you. Whatever that dream is, don't quit. Why? Because a harvest is ready. The right time would come. That God has called you to something. But it starts with an act of obedience. And so my two questions as we close are simply this. What are you holding on to? That thing that defines you. We all have a staff. I don't know what your staff is for you. I don't know what it is that you've gripped so tightly that you can't let go. For Moses, he's held that staff 40 years. You say, well, I've held this thing a long time. 40 years, this has been his identity. 40 years, he's held on to this. And all of a sudden, God says, no, I want you to drop it. What are you holding on to? All of us have that thing. And what are you holding on to? What in faith would you be willing to lay down? What do you have? And then question number 2, are you willing to let go of it? As we end out this year, and you're looking at some things, maybe there's some things you've gripped too tightly this year. Maybe there's some things that you've let define you. And God says, no, drop those things. I have something better. What do you have in your hand? What are you willing to let go of? Because listen to me, there is nothing that God can't do with a group of people who are wholly surrendered to him, who never quit. Bow your heads with me as we pray. I just want to pray that God would give us perspective today. That we'd be willing to look at these things for what they actually are, things. But they aren't that what define us. Actually, in a lot of cases, they're what holds us back. And God may be asking you today to drop what's in your hand. And I want to remind you that everything God has asked us to do is possible. The miraculous is his. The act of submission and obedience is ours. So whatever that thing is, I just want to pray God would give us the strength and the perspective to let go of it. Before we pray that prayer, though, I want to make an invitation to others of you that maybe you're in this place or watching online, wherever you are. And you've walked through seasons of life that are painful, or circumstances that left you what you thought maybe left you for dead. Or that ruined any sense of calling or destiny or purpose. And you're like, I kind of left that in the background. Maybe you went through a circumstance or a season. You're like, I couldn't see what God was up to. I couldn't see those moments. And so I pushed him away. And I wasn't able to reconcile what I could see with what I knew about God. And so I just pushed him out of my life. Or I ran from him. Maybe you spent 40 years on the backside of a desert. Maybe you spent all of this time running from the destiny or the calling God has for your life. Maybe that's you. I want you to know it's never too late to be who God has called you to be. It's never too late for forgiveness, for redemption. That God still wants you, that he's still calling you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far you've run. I don't care what you think disqualifies you. I promise you, in this moment, God still loves you and he still wants you. He still has purpose for your life. Moses screwed the whole thing up. Moses on the run, a murderer, wanted dead, rejected by the people he was called to lead. 40 years out here in the desert, and God appears and says, listen, I have one thing in this moment for you to do. Drop that thing that you think defines you. I have purpose for your life. So I promise you, in this moment, God is drawing you. God is calling you. In this moment, God has something. I don't know what it is, but there's something you've held on to, something, but God is still calling you. Whatever it is, are you willing to let go of it? Are you willing to trust Him? And so maybe for you, this moment, it's time to submit. It's time to obey. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I'm not in this to embarrass you. Right now is the moment between you and God. He's calling you. He's drawing you. And it'd be my honor, the honor of our church, to pray this prayer with you. It's a prayer of obedience. It's a prayer of submission. But above all of that, it's a prayer that says, God, I trust you. God, I believe you. So that's you today. You say, hey, I want to make that decision. Pray that with us. In church, we pray it with them. Nobody prays alone. Say these words. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my mistakes, of all my sin. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you that as we follow you, Lord, in this journey of faith, I thank you you'll give us perspective. I thank you you'll give us, Lord, the power and the submission, God. I thank you that you'll always, always come through. Lord, that as we do our part, Lord, as we end this year and we start a brand new one, Lord, as we begin to do our part, and Lord, it's always simple. It's always easy, God. It's always easy to obey and to submit, but God, we have to do it. That as we're faithful in our part that's possible, Lord, that you will do the supernatural. That you'll be faithful, God, even in seasons of loneliness and pain. We thank you, you are an ever-present help. Your mercies are new every morning, that great is your faithfulness. That as we walk this journey with you, Lord, we thank you that you've never left us or abandoned us. We thank you that you are always with us. We thank you that you hold us in the palm of your hand. And above all, we thank you that you're faithful. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Come on, church, can we give God praise for what he's done today? Thank you.